I have so much, and I got to cut it short now because of time. And you know why I cut it short? Because of you. Not because I'm in a place with God that I was raised up to. I was raised up 2-3 hours in church in the morning. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost filled time, just God moving, instruments playing, you know, the preacher preaching, laying of hands, right? Kids running, laying on hands, kids running around because there was no nursery back then. Hello. You know, we were just using. And then when it was finally done, we had another service yet to attend later that night. And we were right there ready and willing. Come on. No excuse about work. Because when I didn't have a job, what we asked for is a job. So I can't let none of those things interrupt me. And today we're in a finicky time. You know, people are finicky today. You know, you'll judge us because of how much time. Churches, I know there's churches right now, right around the corner. They're already done with their second service. Second service. You want to live with Jesus the rest of your life? Good luck. Read about them a little bit, right? But anyway, getting to the point where we're now in the final steps. You know what the first step he's doing as he's entering Jerusalem? We're going to see it right here in Matthew 21 and verse number. Before I tell you that, in his assignment, who's he thinking about? Who's he thinking about? He's heard the praises. He heard the worship. He saw the people, right? But where was his mind? What was the first thing that you have to understand? Where is his mind this morning? Where's God's mindset right now? You know, you want to save the world, but I'm going to tell you yes and no. Yes, he so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten, John 3:16. You should know that by heart. John 3:16, right? How many Johns do I have in here? I wouldn't want to be you because I got to go to the John. What the heck are you talking about? So I pray for your names, okay? That's a little humor because you need to come up and have some fellowship with God because he's humorous. If the joy of the Lord is our. Come on, this is why you need strength. Why? Because you don't have no joy. Who robbed what didn't have a right to rob you? Oh, hallelujah. Where was his mind? Where was the assignment's mind at? Where was Jesus' mind at? He's receiving the praises. He's receiving the thanksgiving. He sees those that are rejoicing. Well, where was his mind? Verse number 12 tells us. He was focused. Say focus. We serve a God that is focused. And no matter what, you are not going to change him. It's the other way around. He wants to change us. And I'm so glad that he doesn't change. Hello, because I know when I need him, he's there. Even though I fail him, he's there. Come on, somebody. No matter if I disobey, he's there. And when I need to turn around, he's there. So thank the Lord he doesn't change. He says, I'm the Lord God and I do not change. I am the same yesterday. I am the same today and I'm going to be the same tomorrow. For whose sake? Us. Say us. That's how much God loves us. So look at verse number 12. After we're reading what we just read and after the discussion we just had, after they announced who he was, verse number 12 says, and Jesus went into the, where did he go? Where was his mind? Where's your mind on Sunday mornings? Where's your mind on Wednesday morning? Where's your mind on Monday morning? They'll go to work. Your mind should be as the mind of Christ. This is why Jesus says, put on the mind of Christ through the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. Put on the mind of Christ. And in that mindset, put on the protection that Ephesians talks about, the helmet. Why? Because he's after your thoughts. Your enemy works through your thoughts because he can't touch you. Oh, Jesus. Why? Because he's alive. Who's alive? Our God is alive. So he comes after you. He tells you, where is your mindset? And the mindset was, and if you know, we know the story, but they didn't know the story, but he knew the story. If you knew that you're going to go to Jerusalem and you knew that in 7 days from entering that time period of that gate and those praises that you're about to be crucified and you're going to die a horrific death, would you still be going on? Some of us get upset because we didn't say hello. Grow up. Mature a little bit, somebody. Oh, the way they looked at us, get over it. People look at you all day long. You don't hurt my feelings if you don't say hello. Amen. You don't hurt my feelings when you go out, you Mexican people, when you go out and have tacos al pastor, you eating us for lunch. Come on, say amen, somebody. How dare you? But you know what? You don't break our hearts. You don't hurt our feelings. Let me know why they really like us. They're just chewing a little bit about us. Yeah, taco pastor, our pork tacos. Say amen. You didn't laugh, Leo. You're Mexican, aren't you? You look Mexican. Actually, you look Muslim to me, but that's okay, brother. I'm picking on our announcer, right? You know why? I pick on you because I love you guys. And I want you to know that I recognize who you are. I want you to know that I know your name. I want you to know that we have an Ernie in our house because this is why I ask. Why do I ask for the name? Because I'm going before God with that name. Say amen. It says, hi, how you doing? I'm going to do what I'm called to because I'm one of these that God has called out. I'm one of these that have set my sight. I'm one of these that have determined in my life that I'm going to serve the Lord as I promised Him, no matter what. I may not be perfect. I may not be what you think I should be, but all I'm concerned is, are you happy, Lord? If you're happy, I'm happy. Say amen, somebody. Why? Because He saved me. He rescued me. He designated me and He assigned me. Oh, you're not hearing this. This is why what we saw in all the days of our, we have miracles under our belts. We have things that you have never seen us because you haven't been around us long enough. You know, and here we are because Jesus went straight into the temple. Where was His first stop on His final destination? Where is His first stop? In the church. What is going to be His first steps before His coming? He's coming to the house that He represents. Say amen, somebody. He's coming to your house because you're the church. Say amen. This is why He's coming to you. This is why He's speaking to you. This is why He brought you. This is why He brings you. This is why He wakes you up. This is why He protects you over the night. Why? Because He's coming for you. Before He does anything, I'm coming to for you. But what's He going to do? Hello, look at the steps. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast them out that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. He came after those whose hearts were wrong. Come on. And where did He start? And where is He going to start? He's going to start right here, church. He's going to start with us. This is why He'll convict you. This is why He'll send that He gave you the Spirit that He can convict you, not condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. Romans 8 and 1 says, there's no condemnation. Say amen. Religion condemns me because religion put our Savior on the cross. I won't let them do that. I won't let them accuse me of how I dress or how I look or how I shouldn't look or how I should look. I don't let none of that condemn me any longer. Because that's what religion has done to us. Amen, somebody. I'm free because the Bible promised whom the Son sets free. That means you're in victory. To walk in your victory, you walk in your freedom. And we get so obsessed with things that really, He doesn't really want you obsessed except for one thing. Be ready. When I come or when I call. Hello. You see, I know the story about the one we just gave condolence to. He was a servant of God. He adjusted our drums one time. Came down and adjusted our drums at our last location. Come on, people. And I heard him. I heard his heart. He loved music. He was a musician. I'm pumping our sister up because she knows. Say she knows. By the way, she's number 14 out of 15. Just for thought. Come on. Come on. And her dad was a soldier. He served in the United States military. Come on. Say amen. And so did they in the house. Praise be to God. Thank God for parents like that. Amen. But here he's saying, what did he do? He walked in. Before he comes, he's going to deal with you, people. He's dealing with you right now. Some of you are not going to like what you hear, but it's okay because God is coming for you and He wants you ready because we don't know. This might be your last hour on this world. We have no idea that something out there is waiting for us. Come on, it could be a car accident. You don't want to know God protects us. You could be a car accident. Because if it's your time, only God has that command. It's your time. I want you home with me. God's going to allow. Why? Because something needs to be said and done after the fact. But far after the fact, right now, the truth is that he's coming. And he's coming straight into the house. He's coming into our house. He's going to the backslider. We release him on the backslider. Come on. Why? Because he's married to them. People say he's married to the backslider. Don't condemn him. Don't put him down. Pray for them back in. Say amen, somebody. And how do you do that? You love them. Because everybody's looking for love. Why? Because my Texas and my ex in Texas left me. Come on, somebody. We're all looking for love. And the song says, in the wrong places. Come on, say amen. I know where the right place is. I know now who loves me no matter what. I don't care if I didn't have a dad. I don't care if I had a messed up household. I know that today I am loved, whether you are accepted or not. I know. And you should know your love this morning. And I don't care what religion says. I don't care. And I'm sorry, baptized in the name of Jesus, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter, does it? To some it does, but I baptize in the name of Jesus just to make you happy. Come on. Because you see, the argument of religion here, this is the argument of religion. Religion says, if you didn't baptize, and we fought people who said, if you didn't baptize, you're not going to heaven. I said, you're wrong. Tell me what name did Jesus got baptized in? When he baptized Jesus, what name was he baptized in? In the name of John? Because that's who the one that did the baptizing. There was no name yet. We argue about it, but I'm fine. Just get baptized. Come on, we have a baptism. You haven't been baptized, we have a baptism right there. We'll baptize you. And we'll do it in the name of Jesus. Because that's what we use. Because I believe in the name. Say amen, somebody. But steps that are happening. This is step number one. But there's seven more steps that are going to come after this. And I want to go through them real quick. So you that's doing my, you in the background there, when I give you scriptures, I'm going to go through them quickly. But after this now, he's going to go to the next phase and place. How many know what the next place and phase is? It'll be step number one of seven yet to come. And step number one is going to go to the book of Luke. I'm going to get all over the place. The book of the Gospel of Luke. And I want to go to chapter 22. Real quick, and I'm sorry, I'm reading from the King James Version. New King James Version is going to be on the screen for us. Luke chapter 22, and before I cover what it's going to be, I want you to know that you understand that everything that our Savior was designed to do and instructions were given and his assignment totally fulfilled, every step, every action, every area that he, as he entered Jerusalem at this time, time of Passover. Passover's there. Hello. Time of the celebration of Passover when death passed over in Egypt for the Israelites because of obedience. Remember, obedience is a key word. Say amen, somebody. And then I shocked you with the rabbis that I know that said not all is written. Not all. Not all. Say not all. Just like Christianity, not all are going to obey God. Why? Because we've been lied to. Why? Because we get so consumed and customized to the way we like life. Because we like life. We don't like nobody to disturb our lives. Say amen. I liked the way I was. I liked what I did until there was no more hope. Thank God for hope. And thank God that he was there. And that's why, again, with the final steps. Now, the next step that we're going to see is going to be step number one. We're going to see that he's going to enter an hour and a time, and we're going to see that he's going to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, and we're going to see that what he's about to do. How many know the actual story of our Savior? If you don't know this, there's going to be a time before he's going to go to the cross. He's going to go and start doing the steps, say the steps. And the steps are going to do the finalizing in his assignment to set us at our victory. Say our victories. Set ourselves at our freedom. Set our place of choice. Say choice. I get to choose. How many know that he's going to enter number one? He's going to go to the garden. Say the garden. Okay, and as he enters through the garden, he's going to take a couple of people with him. Come on, three of his favorite. Just say, I don't think they were his favorite. I just know they were the chosen three. Say chosen. And he took them with him, right? And he said, just sit right here and pray with me while I go and pray over there. And of course, we know the story that when he came back, it's not about that, right? Say amen. It's not about them being asleep, because that's the church. We're asleep, but he's still praying. I mean, you know that he's making intercession for us right now. Come on, he's in the heavens making intercession right now for us. Why? Because he knows the warfare that we must face on a daily basis, a daily basis. He knows that there's an enemy of ours after us. Come on. He's not after those that he doesn't have. He's after those that he doesn't have. And that's us, the church. Say the church. And he's going to use religion and everything else in his power. And meanwhile, back at the ranch here, back going into the garden, he chose these three. There they are. And he's going to do a prayer. Say a prayer. The prayer is his commitment and his assignment. That is, he's going to get to that place where he's about to take on the whole sins of the world. How many understand? I don't think you and I could handle the whole sins. We better handle ourselves. Hello. We better handle our own children. Hello, everybody. Come on, we better handle some of the situations we face. Come on. And we heard, it is well in what? My soul. Why? We heard it. Why? Because the setback brought you to a comeback. And that's because the will of God is the comeback. Not to be stuck in the setback. It's the comeback that we look for. Always looking for the come. I'm always looking. Okay, I heard this. What's next, God? Where are we going from here? What are you about to do? Let's keep on moving. Got to keep on pushing on. We got to keep pressing on. You know what pressing means? We got to fight sometimes our way. Sometimes it's an easy morning. Sometimes it's a tough morning. Hello. Why? Because the human anatomy of ours wants to fight against the will of God, because it fights against the will of God. How many agree? And I know y'all get up happy. Happy Jesus Day, right? Happy Jesus Day. Yeah, sure. Lie to somebody, but don't lie to yourself. But here we are. He's sitting in the, he's now going to go into the prayer, because step number one through freedom. Say freedom. You that have been with me, I'm repeating something I said years ago that God revealed years ago. Say years ago. And now we're going to reveal it one more time for you, because sometimes we forget. Say we forget. But God never forgets. And he doesn't have the mindset of the size of an elephant, a peanut brain. He is the brain. Come on, he is us. And then he's going to go into a time of prayer. How many know about Jesus going into the prayer? He dropped to his knees, right? That it says that he's praying at a time. In verse number 44 of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, says, and saying, and being in agony. How many understand? Have you been in prayer that is hurting you and hurt and anxiety is hitting you and you're trembling because of what you're asking for? If you've never reached that point, then you haven't really reached the true prayer that is necessary for the victory. Because the prayer at this point is for himself. Sometimes you got to pray for yourself. You don't need to wait to pray from the pastor or from a sister or a brother or a minister or the evangelist or go 30,000 miles away to go see that special person because signs, wonders, and miracles. All you got to do is do what Jesus did. Come on, it says, and he was in that time of prayer alone in his assignment with God, and in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, it says here, and his sweat, was as it were great drops. They weren't little drops, they were great drops. Come on, when's the last time you prayed and you were starting to sweat it off? Come on, great drops. We've been in the sun working. Come on, we start sweating up out there. Come on, and some of us sweat more than us. We got some sweaters out there. Come on, the sun barely hits them and they're sweating. Come on, hello. And then he goes, great drops, as if were great drops of blood falling to the ground. Why was that emphasized to us? Why would the Lord God Himself put this in this writing for us? And this is for you to understand what we lost in the garden. What did you lose in the garden? What did you lose in the garden that has to be won back in the garden? You see, God's steps are directed. Oh, you're not here. Listen, what we lost in the garden, we lost a lot. Come on. We lost more than we ever can imagine.
We lost willpower. We lost our dominion. We lost the speaking of all. Come on.
In the garden, God gave to us, say us, which was Adam and Eve. And he said, you name it and claim it. No, that's the day, bro. Name it and claim. No, I don't believe in that. I believe in naming it and praying for it and sometimes sowing a seed for it. Hello. But right here, you got to watch how the Lord is he's very instrumental to our victories. Everything has to go back. And he went back into the garden, and the sweat turned into blood. Why? The moment that drop hit that garden's ground, we won our dominion back. Oh, see, you don't know your dominion. That's why you're afraid. That's why the spirit of fear fights you so and overcomes you so quickly. That's why your anxiety levels quicken so quickly. Why? Because you don't know who represented you in the garden. Because what was lost now has been won back. The moment the blood that turned from sweat to blood hit that garden, he brought your dominion and your willpower. And your willpower says that you read in the gospel, I'm sorry, Paul the apostle wrote in the book of Romans, that which you speak. Come on. Calling things that are not. Did I need to quote it for you? As though some of you have quoted so much doom into your own personal lives that I don't even want you around me. Get positive. I don't need negativity. I got an enemy that fights all day long me. Fights my thoughts. He fights my ways. He comes to destroy and try to steal and kill when I don't have time for that. How many know what I'm saying? We don't have time for that. Get behind me, Satan. Why? Because the Lord gave us dominion back at the garden. The moment that drop of blood, that was sweat, turned and hit that ground, the Bible says that all authority is given back to us. Say amen, somebody. So you're an authorized, you have dominion today. This is when you got to learn to exercise who you are. But you can't exercise it if you're going to let the abuse continue. You're going to let your enemy to continue to abuse you. God's got to let it go and say, go ahead. But the price has been paid for you that you don't have to suffer the abuse no longer. Say amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. Going to the Gospel of John, 19th chapter. I got to do this quickly. Are you here? I may just say the scripture that I can go on. How many know what I'm saying so far? The Gospel of John, chapter 19, step number 2, not step number 1, we just covered all the 7, not the one that we started with in the entrance. Number 19. And after they arrest him, what is something they did to him? They did several things to him. But the next step is they whipped him. Come on. John 19 says, then the Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, flogged him, had him whipped. Say whipped. And the times of that whipping, it was 40 minus 1 because it is said the 40th would have killed you. So they do 39 to get your attention. Come on, in your punishment. But in this punishment, and I just saw something this morning. I said, I rebuke you, lying devil. Don't believe that what he went through was where he was not recognizable. I go, you're lying devil. You're lying devil. They flogged him. They whipped him with a whip that I have right here represented to the closest I can that they made for me. If I whip you with this, it's going to cut you. No matter where I hit you, it's going to cut you. I don't care. Remember, he didn't have no clothes on. They take it off. Say, hello, somebody. I'm not going to whip you. How many have you ever whipped somebody if you're knowing your children and put their pants down before you whip them? I know we can't whip our children today. Wrong. wrong. You stand up and you stand up for your God. The Bible says to whip them. Hello. Come on, are you here? And the Bible says that it took, Jesus took and had, was scourged. That scourging was 39 times. And how many know what you won, what he won back for you at that point? Because what we lost in the garden, all sin came. Come on. Sin came after the fact. Why? Because when they fell, right? Because they took the drink, right? Excuse me, took the bite of the apple, right? Sin entered, right? And everything else fell apart, right? What does the 39 stripes represent for us? You in the medical field should know this, and we'll know this, that all diseases come from 39 areas of life. 39. All diseases are stemmed. So you find one disease, and it'll show you all that come under that disease. And by his stripes, it says, we are, we are, we are. You don't believe it. It's a tough one to believe, because we'd rather believe that pharmaceuticals are more powerful than the whipping that our Savior took for us. Hello, people. So step number two is that he allowed the whipping. He allowed it. Why? Because he knows what we have to be retained with, and he knows that we're going to fight pharmaceuticals, because it's written in the book of Revelation that you, I'm not going to tell you, because you get so stuck on things that I call this, we get stuck on silliness. I can't say that word because I'll be judged wrongly. So it's being recorded. So we get stuck on silliness. But the Bible says we're going to be under such attack under pharmaceuticals in the last day. And every one of us almost has taken a pharmaceutical somewhere. And you say, no, if you took an aspirin, it's a pharmaceutical. If you put on a special cream, it's a pharmaceutical. Come on, people, don't try to pull a one on God. Not me. I've never. Stop it. Your parents today, today's parents, if they put it on you to stop your teething, it's a. Hello, what is it? It's a pharmaceutical. God, help me here, Jesus. But by his stripes, we are healed. No, we are healed. No, we are healed. Help me here, Jesus. Are you catching this yet? 39. 40 minus 1. Come on. Let's go to the next step. Let's go to Matthew again. Book of Matthew. But this time, let's go to the 27th chapter. I'm going quickly. Matthew chapter 27. What is the next step that happened to him? He's before Pilate after the whipping. Pilate gave the whipping. He gave him a chance. Because everything, you're going to get the chance so many times. We've had, thank God, for chances today. Thank God, I'm probably on 1,100,000 times that I got to say I'm sorry to God. I stopped counting after number two. Come on, say amen. Why? Because I realize without you, I can't do this. I can't go to religion, because religion... Thank God that Joseph Smith isn't your pastor. Because if you don't pay your tithes, you're ousted out of the Mormon church. They come to your door knocking. Guess who's knocking at your door? It ain't the JWs. It's them. Where's your tithes? If you don't want to pay your tithes, they oust you. They oust you out of their religion. Just because you're not going to pay your tithes. That's why they're very rich. You don't believe me? Look them up. You don't believe me, that's fine. But the next step, what did they do? Where is he at? Remember, what are they calling him? You say, they keep saying, you say, he never said. He just said, I am. Come on, but you say, I am who you say I am. I'm not saying that I am this. You're saying that I'm saying, and I'm agreeing that you say I am. We sang about it, the great I am. What is that? What did they do? They put a crown of thorns on him. Are you here? Look at verse number 29 of the book of Matthew, chapter 27. King James says, and when they have plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed knees before him. They mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Why did they do that to him? Why did they have to put thorns on his head? Come on, church. I had a replica of what it looked like there, but it's where it's up on the cross now. You see it up there? You see that crown? Come on, somebody. That crown had to be put on him because that's the way man is. Amen. That's you and I. He had to have that put on because he's going to release us from the curse. Say the curse. What is the curse? He cursed him in the garden after the fall in the garden. He said, from this day on, you're going to work and you're going to sweat from the brow on thorns and thistles. Read the book of Genesis. Go all the way back to the beginning. And today, we don't have to do that. Why? Because he let the blood hit the brow that set us free, that I don't have to sweat among the thorns and the thistles no longer. That's why I learned, be smart. See, be smart. Work with a pen. Because the pen is mightier than the... Come on, say amen. Work in an air-conditioned office. Hello. Nah, you don't like that. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear more. There's four more steps. But if you don't want to hear it, I'm fine because I already know the steps. I believe in them. Come on. No. Let's go to the next step. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going all over the place, right? Book of Deuteronomy because we're going to go to the next steps. And I'm doing this quickly. Hello, church. Why? Because I'm celebrating today. We celebrated last week with making bread with you because that's an intimate moment with you. This is why we break bread and with you, because it's intimate. This is how it should be. This is how many remember the Last Supper? Come on. How many remember the Last Supper at the 2 years ago when they did the mockery of the Last Supper at the Olympics? Remember, it was all transgender and gay. Hello? Guess what happened yesterday out there in the beach areas? They celebrated that. Why? Because they believe they have a right for that, and they do have a right. How many? Because this is America. Just don't force your rights on me. I don't force my rights on you. Yeah, I wish I could, but we don't. We can't even do it to our own church. Come on. It's all choice. You have a choice. You want to live like that? You want to think that God made a mistake? Go for it. Stay away from me, though. But I'm going to tell you, God loves you, and I'll pray for you. Say amen, somebody. Going to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. When you get time, read Deuteronomy 28, blessings and curses. You're going to find everything you're going to face, everything that's going to line up with Galatians chapter 5 with the fruit of the Spirit, with the works of flesh. Deuteronomy 28 will line you up. Because how many know the prior covenant lines up with the new covenant? And I love the 28th chapter because it's blessings and curses. And we're going to cover the next one. And the next one's going to be that that you understand that you have been giving back the blessings of victory of everything you touch. Say touch. Come on, say touch. Deuteronomy 28 says this. Watch this. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thy storehouse, and all that thou setteth thy... Hello, are you reading with me? They put it on screen for you. For you that don't have Bibles, we have Bibles if you need one. Give them away for free. Come on. Get off your phone. Get off Facebook. Get off where you're not supposed to be and listen to what the Lord will tell you, and you'll have a better life. Come on, say amen. You're not fooling God. You're fooling yourself. But if you want what God has given you already, read what it says here. I have it on screen up there, and I'll read it in the way it says it here. The Lord will command the blessing on who? Me. And my storehouses. More than one, plural. And in all to which you set my... This is why he had to be spiked through the palms. Come on, somebody. Why? Because we lost all the blessings that God had commanded we have, but because he allowed them, see, he allowed them. Remember, his assignment, he knew what he had to go after. He knew what he's about to face, but he loved us so much because to be royalty status, you need to be in dominion status. You need to be in the blessed status. Nobody's going to follow a king that's poor. Kings have everything. Hello? Everything comes to the king. Great, you, Jesus. And I mean, no, we're kings and queens. of the Almighty Living God, that who we called. So he led them. That's why the song says, go ahead and strike those through my hands. Go ahead. Why? Because he's releasing the curse that what we lost, that no matter what, today and after today, you people, you have the rights to whatever you touch should be blessed. Now I'm really gonna get you. He doesn't bless us. He does not bless a thief up here that's in his group. What does that mean? What does that mean, Pastor? You don't want to tithe? Don't tithe. You don't have to. It's not from the old. It's not the Old Testament. Old Testament is live right now. This is Old Testament writing, but I'll prove it in the New Testament. But I don't need to. I'm going to stay right here because I want the blessing that no matter what I touch, he will bless you. My hands, and he's going to bless me in the land which the Lord God has given us. This place is blessed. Come on, because he gave it to us, all 2.3 acres, right? When's the last time you walked all around it and claimed your blessings? Why? You need to. Why? Because the next step, hello, go to Joshua chapter 1. Well, your Old Testament, no, it's all Bible. Why? Because what's the next step? Now that your hands are free, now that you don't have to sweat no longer. Hello, people. Now that I don't have to walk in sickness no more. What's my next step? Well, Joshua tells us in verse number 3. Joshua 1, King James Version. Every place. Hello, people. Amen. That the sole of what? Tread upon. I have what? In your dominion, wherever you walk, if you're not taking authority, if you're not walking in your royalties, believe me, if you go meet real kings, they know what they're. If it's not theirs, they're going after it. Yeah. Why? Because it's mine. Because I'm the king. Hello, somebody. And so we have to understand, why did they nail that stake through his feet? Because he's giving you back what God gave you in the beginning. What did he say, Adam? All this is yours. All of this is yours, Adam. Except one tree. The Bible tells us that God has blessed us tremendously. Everything is yours, but don't do that. Hello, and what do we go after? What does the enemy constantly work on? Why is he constantly picking on you? He's not picking on you. You're letting him talk to you. If it isn't written in God's word, you shouldn't be listening to it. Hello, when it's coming in your mind. I don't care if you have dreams over a dream. I don't care. We have an enemy that tries to strike us when we're asleep because that's one of our weakest points. You're asleep. And you that are fighting sleepiness, God gave you sleep. You got to take it back because it belongs to us. Why? Because every place that your foot will tread upon, I've given it to you. When's the last time you walked your neighborhood? Claiming it for the glory. I walk mine because I got Islam there. Out, Islam. I see you with your little beads. I see you walking, so I'm walking behind the beads. Guess what? Those beads, out. That prayer, out. I'm following you, out. Why? This is my neighborhood. Come on, I don't care where I've lived, I've walked, I watch for. I start taking dominion and taking back. I'm not afraid to walk our streets. Say amen, somebody. Come on, that's what we did as youngsters before Christ. Why would I be afraid now? We were never afraid back then. We didn't care what time it was. We didn't care who might pop out of the bush. Now today, you can't even walk out because they got us so paranoid. And fear is not from God. God not giving us the spirit of fear. Hello? Come on, I'm not afraid. Why? Because I'm packing. I'm not afraid. Come and tell me, right? I'm going to pull out the Bible on you. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, it's a sword. You didn't expect a sword. They say never take a knife to a gunfight. Wrong. Take your sword to a gunfight and see what God will do for you. Hello. So he won back because he said, go ahead, do it in my hand, do it on my feet, because I'm bringing it back to my people. That's my assignment. You're fulfilling what we are agreeing to. Come on. Come on, church. Wherever you walk, wherever you touch, how much more do you need? What has God got to do to resurrect you? Because he went on the cross for us. Say us. Praise be to God. Psalms 147. I'm almost done now. I got to finish. Hello. Help me here. Help me here, Jesus. Where's Psalms? Is it in the Old or New Testament? Old? You make me feel old. 147. And what's he going to do next for us? Verse number 3, Psalms 147. I went to 147. It took me Psalms 1. I should probably talk about Psalms 1, but I ain't got time for it. I'm sorry. I was in the right place. My hand took me to the right place. Psalms, not the right place. Psalms number 4. I got too excited here. Next step that he's taken for us. After they did all that, after he finalized it all by saying it is finished, which we'll cover and close it with, what did they do to him? They pierced him on the side, right? How many remember that? And what you didn't know, when they pierced him on the side, it actually hit his heart. Because what they were making sure, just to make sure that he died. Why did that be allowed? Is that you, say I, we, say we, meaning God's people should have this right here. And what this is, because the Lord knows a lot of you fight this today. You're fighting it even this morning. You don't have no joy. And how many know that the joy of the Lord is our? It's not our burden. It's our strength. Every morning is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Because I know I commit it all to him. And I know if I don't do that every morning, I'm in trouble. Why? Because Albert is going to work on his own intentions and it's not good all the time. Hello. I'm human just like you. Hello. And I know what I need to submit to, because if I don't, I have a will in a way that is not right from God. Oh, come on. I don't want to face what I have to face. I don't want to do what I got to do. I don't do it like Frank Sinatra said. I'm going to do it your way. That's why you're in the grave. Come on, do it my way. I did it my way. No, you did it. You had the mafia that helped you, that pushed the people that didn't want you. Pushed them by threat. Say by threat. That's what the enemy does. He threatens us. But the joy of the Lord is? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalms 4 tells us in verse number 7, thou hast put gladness, joy, in my heart, more in the times than their corn and wine increases, more than wine and alcohol can do for you, more than anything that you think you'll need. When they did the heart issue, when they pierced him on the side and it touched his heart, he put the gladness back that you can walk. I've been accused, why are you smiling? Why are you this way? I said, well, because he saved me. Yeah. This is a song. I was dead, sleeping in my grave. But the Lord spoke to death and said, death, you better be hanged. Why? Because I was dying. And I cried out. Why? Because somebody planted a seed and that seed got watered. And what happened when it needed to bring a harvest? I cried out. And today I cry out, thank you, Jesus, that today is a new day. Your grace, your mercy is reestablished, renewed. Yesterday's behind us. What's right before us? In your name, Jesus, we got this. Come on. So they stabbed him on the side because you need joy this morning. Hello. You need joy. Now I'm going to go to Psalms 147. I jumped the gun because I'm going to close the last one with this one. And that's part of all of that.
Why did he allow that to be happening? The bruises, how many remember he had bruised body? He covered the last bruises for the end. How many know what that means? How many know what bruises are? We all have them. We all get them, right? We all have suspicions when we see it on your face. Like, what happened to you? Come on, hello. Who gave you that black eye? What's a black eye? It's a bruising of the eye, right? Who did that to you, right? What happened to you? Or see them on your legs or your arms or anywhere in your body, right? We all had them once, or especially if you're a kid that climbed trees. Come on. We like to climb trees as kids. Climb roofs. No matter what we could do as kids. We didn't have electronics back in our days. Everything we did, kick the can, was man-made by us. Kick the can. We made the can as the holy spot, the safe spot, right? Willie the Fox. I mean, you know what Willie the Fox is? It was a group I grew up in the neighborhood. It was called the Rag, the Gata in Spanish. It was a city park where a bunch of families work at the same location, known as a rock quarry. And all our kids always got together, and we'd meet at a certain time, and we played. We had the city park right across the street from us, and we came up with this game, Willie the Fox. Kick the can. Come on. Yeah. And then, you know, it was a tremendous time. Doors were never locked. I can go into your house as a friend who your son was, or it was a bunch of guys. See, guys, there was no girls with us. We didn't have time for that. We want to play Willie the Fox. How many know what that means? But the final bruising, one of the bruising that took place, why did he allow the bruising? Because this is where he wants to really meet you now. Jesus is going to cover it on chapter 4 in the book of Luke, but here he's going to be covered here real simply. He tells us what we need and why he was bruised, because it says on verse number 3, closing you with the 7 steps, he healeth the broken heart and bindeth up the wound. So many of God's people are walking with broken hearts from past, wounds from past, not recognizing that he took the bruising along with all the other things, that we can be free. Your joy won't never be fulfilled, because as long as you got that broken-hearted mindset and those wounds of what took place, that's not even existing no more, but the enemy won't let you get rid of it, then your freedom will never be fulfilled, then you'll never walk in your kingdom mindset, you'll never receive the glory that God has called to be upon you, you'll always be beggars of bread when God says that the righteous will never beg for bread. Come on, somebody. Why? Because I'm going to meet all the needs to my children. I'm going to supply what they always will need. I'm always going to be there for them. I'm never reject them. I'll never forsake them. But we live in a brokenness because we haven't released it, that he took it. And that's why your victory is on that cross. Don't tattoo it. Don't wear it around your neck. It means nothing if it's not in your heart. But Jesus paid the price for this morning for us. And then as we finalize it in the book of Mark, the 15th chapter, people, I'm done here. I'm closing you out now. I know you're happy now. See, now you're happy. And if you're happy and you know it. Oh, busted. Get out of my church. Go. I don't need you here. I'm kidding. Yeah. I know churches that are like that. They won't let you back. Come on. Can't even go to the bathroom. You can't come back. Stay outside. Hello? Stay out. You go to the bathroom, don't let them back in those doors there. Whoever's watching the door right there. Huh? Angels, don't let them back in. That's what they do in many, other churches. Trust me. Come on. Book of Mark, 15th chapter. Closing now. We're going to close out with several reasons here. Verse number 37. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and gave up his ghost. You all know this story, right? He fulfilled his assignment. He felt the pain.
He felt the heartache. He felt the loneliness. He understood depression. Come on. His resentment was challenging him. Bitterness was right there. Why? Because he's looking at everybody. Where's my people? Where are those that supported me? The ones that said, Hosanna, put me up here. The ones that said, blessed be the neighbor. The ones that you're the ones that put me up there. But where's my disciples? Where are those that I put in so much and gave so much to that they were even allowed to be used in the same manner? Where are they? As he looked down, he's watching, but he said, Father, Jesus, he cried out, Father, Book of Luke said in this manner, Father, I commend my spirit into your hand. Why did he say that? Because it's fulfillment. That you didn't take me, I gave it. You didn't kill me, I gave it. I gave it up. Because if you really knew who I was, and if anybody knew where's my disciples should know, I can get myself right off this cross right now, and I can show you who I really am. Come on. And I'm going to tell you what. He's going to do that one day. But thank God he has it right, because we need to be right with God. We need a little cleansing. We need a little help from the Spirit of God to fulfill. Because the next step, they take him right to the tomb, right? And they put a stone in front, right? Why did they put a stone to a dead man? And then they put guards. Why would they do that? Because it's the mentality of man. And it's fulfillment of man to understand. That's the security. The stone represented man's security, but we know that the stone represented our rock. You put a dead man in, and you secured yourself. You put a rock over, and then you put soldiers to watch the rock that's been put over. Only to realize that not 2 days later, you're gonna see some women come out. And you're going to see that they're going to be astonished. And you're going to hear the angel say, what are you looking for? He's not here. He's alive. Come on, he's alive. And if you don't know this, who's the first one that really saw them? The guards. The guards saw him. He didn't condemn them. Come on. They just sat in astonishment that they walked by. It's a ghost, no? Because you can touch him. Come on, say amen. You can touch him. Today, people, we celebrate what we believe. He's alive. Seven steps he proved for you, fulfilled you. Today, walk in that victory. The cross before me, right? No, the cross in me. Let us walk. Come on, say amen. Give him a praise offering.